Hi, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the Heal and Thrive After Narcissistic Abuse podcast. This is your host, Effie, from New York City. Welcome back if you've been a repeat listener, and to all those who are now joining me for the first time. If you are already in a place where you've gone through the recovery and you have a clear understanding of what you were subjected to with a narcissist or a cluster B personality disorder toxic person, and you've gone through the healing process and you're in a better place, and perhaps this is the episode for you. Otherwise, if you are experiencing you're still in it, or you're in the beginning stages of your recovery, I suggest that you just go back to the initial episodes that I recorded and published. I think those would be a good place for you to start, to work through that difficult preliminary stage of recovery, of healing, to better understand and grasp what the signs are, what what people can experience going through something like this. So I would suggest that you do that, and then you work your way through to this episode. So I just want to say that, first of all, I want to thank my listeners, and thank you to those who did reach out to me and sent emails, entrusting me with your stories, with your accounts, providing some feedback on the podcast. I am so overjoyed to know that it has been of some value to you, that you could relate to it, that you could feel validated through my own experience that I've described in detail, that you've also found value in some of the suggestions that have been interspersed throughout this podcast, and what you can do during the healing process. I also thank you for those of you who have had some suggestions as to what I could focus on or perhaps touch upon going forward. Something that recently came up, one of my listeners who wrote to me suggested that perhaps I do an episode, or I focus a little bit more on what are the flags, the red flags to look for in the beginning, when you sense that something is off, so that it could sort of help people figure out quickly in the beginning and remove themselves from these toxic situations with narcissists. How to spot one early on. So I will go into that a little bit today. If you play back some of the first episodes, I believe I do touch on that a little bit, but I can certainly today go through that with you in more in depth, and also return to that in a future episode. I also want to take this time today to mark a celebratory moment that I want to share with you, because this time of year is the 1 year anniversary. Yes, it's an anniversary of coming out of a relationship with the last narcissist I was with, the covert, highly malignant narcissist I was with last year, who discarded me around this time last year, right before the holidays, before Christmas, New Year's, and my birthday in January. And to do it in such a cruel way, to project all of his faults onto me, to leave me with a sense of a full sense that I carried the entire weight of what went wrong in the relationship. So projecting all of the blame for the failure of the relationship onto me, to gaslight me into believing that that was true, that there was something intrinsically wrong with me and flawed in me, that if I didn't correct, that I would experience again with the next one, to his total and utter lack of empathy as he was devaluing and discarding me, his total lack of ability to see me as a separate human being with wants, needs, and desires, goals, and dreams. His total inability to accept any responsibility for any of what anything that went wrong that led to the demise of that relationship. So, and to cut me off in such a cruel, horrific way, while proclaiming his love for me and how he never loved the way he loved me. Talk about mindfuckery and gaslighting until the very end, while discarding me, blocking all of my basically deleting all of the photographs that he had of me from all of his accounts, treating me and showing to the world that I was the problem that he needed to eliminate from his life, even though I truly was the one that needed to go no contact. He misappropriated that and made it look to the world as if he had to block me, remove me from his life in order to be well, that there was something intrinsically wrong and ill within me. So I'm just revisiting this to then move on to a place where I can say, okay, this happened to me, and I'm at that place where this happened to me. I accept what happened to me. I fully now understand. Cognitive dissonance is behind me. I see the fog is behind me. I see with such crystal clear vision, with such clarity, what had transpired and what was chipping away at my very soul. And it was him, this individual that I had entrusted, that I had allowed into the sacred areas of my soul and my life, and that he had so callously in the end rejected and mistreated me, and also hit me over the head, metaphorically speaking, of course, with that indirect Hoover that I talked about in the in one of the first episodes of this podcast. So to acknowledge where I was, what I had to work through in order to get to this point now, a year later, where I am free of it. I am free and clear of the confusion brought about by the cognitive dissonance. I am free and clear of the trauma bonds. I am free and clear of any need to reach out to this person, to want to know what this person is doing in his life, to, and I am fully connected with my own self and with my purpose as a human being on this earth. And so this is a time, and for those of you who are in this stage, I welcome you with me. It's been a long road. It's been difficult. It's been a struggle. It's been recovery marred with some remissions, but then, you know, getting back on track and working through all of that ugliness, all of that toxicity, and coming out of that horrible place into the place we're at now. It is beautiful to know that you, nobody else but you, had the strength, the courage to work through all those stages, to not just sweep them under the rug, to not just look for an easy escape out from the pain, but to work through all that and to come out not only healed but thriving. And you feel it. You feel it in the way you carry yourself in the world, in how you allow only loving, validating, respectful, genuine people into your life, how you are now able to create boundaries and to shut out anyone else who makes you feel off, who triggers you in any way, who is toxic, whether it be a friend, a family member, another romantic interest that you may have had during this time period, that you have had the strength and courage to do all of that. You are a warrior. You are a brilliant, brilliant survivor. And I want to say that along with me, if you have reached this stage, take a moment. If you are nearing or you have already approached an anniversary from the time that all of this happened to you, take a moment to embrace yourself, to celebrate, whether it be privately or with friends and people that you trust who have known about your journey and have validated you and been there with you, along with you. Whatever it is that you feel that will help you celebrate yourself in this moment, do it. Take the time and do it. Whether it's, again, something as intimate and as, simple as writing in a journal entry, marking the moment, or lighting a candle, or burning a sage, singing a song, writing a poem, painting an image or sketching an image that can mark this time, visualizing, taking a walk and just enjoying this freeing sense of being back in touch with yourself and with the world and your purpose in the world. Or something even more fun that you want to go out and have a dinner and drinks, buy that dress and go out dancing. Whatever it is, stay up and watch the sunrise somewhere where you can do that. If you have children, take them out and spoil them for a day. Spend the entire day with them and honor this beautiful time that you have with your children away from these toxic individuals. Whatever it is that can help you celebrate and mark this achievement, this triumphant moment, do it. As for me, I just came back from a wonderful vacation in St. Lucia in the Caribbean. I feel utterly renewed. I feel so blessed and grateful. Every moment I experienced that I could give myself those beautiful, meaningful moments, especially in a setting free of any toxicity, in paradise, surrounded by beautiful, fragrant plants and flowers and views, panoramic views, and just feeling so happy and smiling again and laughing again and connecting and chit-chatting with people that I happen to come across. Just a complete and joyous celebration of what it means to be alive, what it means to be feel safe, and what it means to feel to truly have reclaimed one's sense of identity that was chipped away at by the narcissist or toxic individual. So I celebrate this moment. For those of you who are still going through the initial stages, or maybe still stuck in somewhere in this process that we talked about, I want to let you know that you can and you will get to this place. If you want to listen to this episode, listen to it as something to aspire to, as something to know that you can, you have the power within you to get to, and you will. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with the process. For me, it took a whole year to get to this place. And also do realize that not only does it take time, but it takes cutting off the toxic person from your life. And I mean full no contact. What's helped me get to this place is a complete and utter indifference that followed my making a pact with myself that I was no longer going to, not only, and I wasn't communicating with the person, but to not even check back in with his social media accounts or ask questions for maybe a remaining mutual friend or acquaintance, just utter as if that toxic person no longer exists, even if you still feel something for that person, to stop yourself from checking in on anything that they are doing. It's the only way. I can't say it loud enough. I cannot stress it more than this, than to say that it is only when you, okay, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy. You will falter, you will go off course, and we talked about that. There will be times when it feels like you're backtracking, but as long as you keep getting back on the road, the path to where you need to be, and you keep trying, you will get there. But you have to believe when I say that the only way that you can extricate yourself fully and focus on yourself and fully, fully heal is when you cut the person off completely, is when you don't go back to even look at what might hurt you. You don't need to know. Something that my therapist stressed and pointed out, there is nothing there for you. Don't look for it. Don't check in. All you will see is parts of the mask that the person has to, because of their narcissism, because of their disorder, has to put out into the world. It is only a mask. You will never see the real them on social media. You will never see the dark moments. And that will mess with your head, because if you look at that, you will start thinking, maybe I was wrong about something. Maybe the person isn't a narcissist. Maybe the person has recovered. Maybe the person is different with this other love interest that they might be showing off on social. No. The disorder will manifest itself, if not the same way, then in a different way, but it will manifest itself. But that person will not display it on social media. So to go back and look, to look at their photos, to look at their Facebook, to look at their Instagram, to try to inquire from their friends or people that know them who are just who drank the Kool-Aid and who don't get to see them the way you saw them or experience the abuse, because only the closest and very intimate relationships will ever get to see that side of them and understand, after having gone through it, what it is, if they're lucky to see it clearly. So you see, you have to remove yourself from that. You have to completely stop looking, communicating. There is nothing there for you. There is nothing there. There's no there, as my therapist would say, with these people. All you get is a mask, so there's no point in looking. When you can get to that point is when you will fully heal, and you will fully focus all your energy on yourself. I can't stress that enough. So having said all of this, I do want to address, take this a few moments to address what we talked about, what I talked about early on what I mentioned earlier, which is to talk a little bit more about the red flags, because it's a concern for many survivors. There's a fear that this will happen again. So how to recognize when you start dating again, when you are interested in someone new again, what are the signs that you can look out for? Well, signs of narcissism and the more malignant ones, even early, are difficult to detect early, very early on, because remember, they are extremely charming and beguiling. They draw people in. They know, they've done this over and over in their lives, so they know how to pull people in with their false charm and their compliments and all of that. But if, since you've been through this, you will be able to detect much, much more quickly what, you know, if they do exhibit any of these signs. So I can say that even early on, you know, the love bombing, I think that gives it away. And I will explain how that's different from the healthier displays of affection by a healthier person who is not a malignant narcissist or has some kind of personality disorder. The narcissist, as I've mentioned before, will be over the top with their compliments even before they fully know you. In fact, it is before they fully know you, and that is the red flag. They will quickly put you on a pedestal. So you will hear comments such as, "I've never in my life felt this way before with anyone." Then they will throw in all of my exes were crazy, they were jealous, they were sick, they were this, they were that. You'll hear a lot of negative statements about past relationships or women who have come into their lives. and comparisons, but you are different. You are so different. And they'll say this before they fully know you, and you'll sit there and you'll say, wait a second, how do they know I'm different? And, you know, could all of these women that came into their lives be crazy? And if they were, what would it even say about them? But regardless, all of these people happen to be crazy that came into their lives or jealous. I wonder what he might have done. You need to ask yourself these questions and not take it as an immediate compliment that you are somehow so different from all of these other people that tried to enter their lives and were rejected or were dumped because there was something wrong with them. No, you got to question that. That is a surefire red flag when someone does that to you before they fully know you. That I've never loved this way before. You know, I say bull. If you're over the age of 25, even, okay, give and take, you know, you're a mature adult. You've loved before. Stop the crap, okay? I don't never want to hear that from a man again. And a healthy person would say, when they don't know you yet, I really, really like you. I'm really enjoying spending time with you. You seem like you are a pretty cool, amazing person. I'd like to get to know you more. I want to see you again. They might say, I'm starting to develop strong feelings for you. I want to see where this goes. That's healthy. Unhealthy is you're the best thing that ever happened to me before they know you. I've waited all my life for someone like you. Then they start the future faking right away. Not even a month or two has passed in the relationship and they're like, I want to move in with you. I want us to have children together. What would our children look like? I've never ever thought about marrying until now. I mean, really? How do you know? How do you know? You haven't seen me that long. You haven't gotten to know who I truly am, what my likes and dislikes are. No, that's all fake. That's fake. That is simply done to draw you in quickly. And they also enjoy the reaction that that causes in you. And it makes them feel that they are all powerful and they have the power to elicit those responses from you and to draw you in and to make you fall in love with them. It's like they're drunk off of that. That's not to say that you aren't an amazing person, that you aren't beautiful, that you aren't smart, but this over the top before they know you, don't buy into it. You can know that for yourself, that you're an amazing person and that you are worthy, but worthy of true love. Someone who has seen even the ugly bits of you, and we all have them. You know, I can be sometimes anal with certain things that I can see might irritate someone, or I can have high expectations, certain things about a person. Can raise my voice at times if I feel unheard. Those are little things that could, you know, be annoying to someone. And until you get to know me, don't say I'm the best thing ever and that you've never been in love before. Okay, that is a surefire sign, a red flag right there. The other thing is the hot and cold, you know, the pulling in and pushing away. A narcissist will give off signs of that even early on. They might love bomb you and contact you constantly for like a few days, and then they'll go missing in action. And you'll be like running in circles to get that back from them. That will start, because they can't hide that. That will start early on. In my last experience, what happened was when I would point that out, he would say, but I love the fantasy of missing you. If I don't see you every day, if I don't hear from you every day, then I can fantasize about you more. At the time, when I didn't know any better, I started believing this crap. It's a load of crap. Don't buy into it. That is sick. That's a sick individual who can't maintain a real relationship and doesn't know the first thing about building a healthy, secure relationship with somebody. This is someone who's disordered. This is someone who likes to create dissonance. This is someone who likes to create drama. This is someone who likes to draw you in and then watch you run in circles after them to feel empowered and special. Again, it's about them, not you. That's another red flag. And I would say the other powerful flag is the triangulations. They'll start talking about exes early on. They'll start bringing up like girls that are friends who they've had romantic relationships with who are somehow contacting them or somehow in their lives or somehow left a message or somehow liked their picture on Facebook. Or they might, when you're at a party, you might notice that they start flirting or talking or focusing in on someone of the opposite sex a little too much for your comfort level. Trust that feeling. It's not you being jealous. Don't let them gaslight you into believing that you are jealous. If you sense that, there's a reason. Trust that. That's a red flag. Other red flags, I think narcissists can be predators, soul-sucking vampires. They have stuff that's missing in their lives and they try to take from you. Individuals who don't have jobs, who are unemployed, and yet who promise you the world. In my situation, claiming that he was going to be the next big biotech guy who would transform the world, living with his mother, lying about the reason or when he first moved back in with his family, a history of living off of other partners, not having their own apartment or home. You notice things about their finances that are off. Another thing that I remember that would have been a red flag that I kind of got this horrible feeling that this isn't right. How this person lives their life isn't right. What they did to some people wasn't right. And if you really listen, you'll pick up on this stuff. Within a month, he was talking about how before me, the victim that he had gone through such horrific moments in his or her life. In my case, that nobody understood him and his mission and his purpose, that he was different from other people. You'll hear words that coming from them that where they try to set themselves apart from other people, that they have something special, that you should be so lucky that someone like that would choose you. When they make comments like that, or whether they be direct or indirect, roundabout way of saying that, that's a surefire sign that they're a narcissist. I think also, the way they've treated other women, I remember him saying how there was some girl when his father was very ill and about to die. He was on this dating site and met a girl that he wasn't attracted to, knew that he wasn't attracted to in a physical or sexual way, and yet he continued being friends with her. But I told her, he would say, I made it very clear to her that I was not interested in any way other than friendship. And yet he mentioned to me that he would invite her over to meet his mother, to be around his dying father, to spend Easter with the family. And this girl was running around in circles trying to impress him and the family, buying expensive gifts apparently for the mother. And I guess in her own way, thinking that, okay, he's allowing me this access into his private life that would otherwise be reserved. A healthy person would reserve those parts of their lives for someone that they want to be in a relationship with, in a more intimate relationship with, or, you know, a longtime friend, but not somebody that they have just met on a dating site. And when I questioned him about that, I remember saying things like, wait a second, but do you think that was right? I mean, I know you made it clear to her, or you said in your words, but then if your actions speak otherwise or can be interpreted otherwise, and knowing that she was really into you, why would you do that to her? Why would you invite her out or hang out with her so much? Like, and you know, why? That, I mean, just... you make it clear, and then you tell the person, if we can't just be friends and you want more, then I don't think it's healthy for us to spend that much time together. And definitely don't invite her into your home and around your mother and your family and do things with the person that most people would do with their significant other. Well, I was going through, and his response, well, I was going through so much with my father. I needed friends. I needed a support system. I was going through so much. I wasn't thinking. Now looking back, I'm like, what a selfish prick. What a narcissist. Only someone who has zero empathy for other people would behave in this way, would treat another human being this way, would have them running in circles, knowing that they're into them, would have them in their lives in this way. And it's all for their benefit. It all comes back to them and what they need. As if the other person is just there to serve their bottomless needs. So look out for signs of selfish behavior. And they will usually talk about their exploits, especially those malignant narcissists who are seductive withholders. They withhold affection. They withhold sex. They withhold relationship from people. They will reel them in. They will seduce them with words and with their constant presence and attention. And then they will pull back. They will start pulling back. And then they will shame them. Then they will tell them that there's something wrong with them. Just be careful. If you listen, you will hear things like that that are off. You know you wouldn't behave that way towards another human being, that you wouldn't lead somebody on like that, that you wouldn't seduce somebody just to discard them in the end when you know that you are not interested in them for something more. I know for myself, I remember there was a guy who, we have mutual friends, and I could sense that he zeroed in on me and he was interested in me, physically, romantically interested in me. And I sensed that and I pulled back because I didn't feel comfortable. I mean, I couldn't just be friends with him. He constantly tried, and I saw that he, even though I was making it clear that I was not interested, that I didn't want to pursue anything in that respect with him, I could still sense that, and there was a tension, and I'm like, why would I do that? Why would I continue seeing this person frequently, alone, hanging out with him alone. Why would I keep doing that, like accepting his calls or his messages or flirting or whatever? I'm not going to do that to myself or to him. It doesn't make me feel comfortable. But to a narcissist, that's supply. That's feeding their ego, and they'll take anything they can get. And it's just horrible. So those are some of the red flags that you can look for, that you can detect within the first few months of, dating someone or a relationship with someone. And in another episode, I will maybe focus in a little bit more on what you can do to extricate when you do see those red flags. How is it that you can extricate yourself early on and wean yourself off of this person? Be the one to leave first, and early on, not getting entangled further. So I've touched upon all this throughout the podcast, but I felt it was important, especially since one of my listeners brought it up and wanted to know more about the red flags early on. And that is a concern for many of you, having recovered from such a horrific experience, relationship. We don't want to be in a state where we're constantly vigilant or living in fear of any interaction with a potential love interest. We don't want to malign or to label someone who ultimately doesn't deserve the label, or push someone who is a healthy individual away that we could have a beautiful, loving, caring, healthy relationship with. So we want to learn how we can differentiate. But, those are red flags, and they are there if you notice them. And I think most of us, having gone through it, will notice them right away. But it's more a matter of not ignoring or not allowing the narcissist to create that cognitive dissonance, to create the doubt of what you are perceiving, so that, you see that, okay, they vacillate between all of those horrific qualities to the love bombing and acting is the operative word, like a loving, normal person. But when you notice that cycle, and that teetering between one extreme and the other, that is a major sign right there. That is because a healthy person will not go from one extreme to the other like that. So I hope that this helps. Let me know, write to me. Let me know if you need more information, or if you feel that this was helpful in terms of the signs to look out for early on. And again, for those of you who are fully recovered, who feel like they've finally extricated themselves, celebrate the moment. Celebrate yourself. Thank you for listening. Sending you tons of warm wishes and hugs. And again, you can always reach out to me, pasagiae@gmail.com. That's pasagiae@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. I do respond. I try to respond to everyone that writes to me. If not immediately, then I'll get to it. Just know I will get to it. I try not to ignore any of the emails that you do send, and your messages, your sweet and poignant messages, along with your own stories, your own of your own journeys. Thank you again, and I'll be back at some point and check back in. Thank you and take care.